Okay, a lot of you may have seen this, this maybe on Facebook or Google or something like that. But what I would like us to focus on today is just Jesus and the true friend that he is to us. Let's see if we can, instead of putting the Bible in there, let's use Jesus, okay? What if we began to treat Jesus the way we treat our cell phones? What if we carried Jesus with us everywhere? What if we turned back to get Jesus if we forgot him? What if we checked Jesus' messages about Jesus throughout the day? What if we used Jesus in case of an emergency? What if we spent an hour or more with Jesus every day? Do you think we could do that? Wouldn't we grow much faster if we did that in him? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? All right, let me see how to work this. Okay. I'm not very technological. Okay, there we go. We sing a song called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm sure all of you know that song. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's what we're going to focus on today. All right, let's start with this verse of scripture. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Pretty great. A man of too many friends comes to ruin. We all know that we probably all have friends that stick closer than brothers, don't we? Than our actual family. I figured today we're talking about being conformed to him, his image, and being a true friend. We're going to start off by looking at the definition of friend. A friend is one attached to another by affection or esteem, one who is not hostile, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary. A friend is not going to be mean to us. A friend is going to be very special to us, special to our heart, aren't they? Friends are special to us. All right. We're going to talk about how Jesus is our true friend to start with. I'm going to go over two main points, and this is the first one. Jesus is my true friend. First of all, Jesus is my true friend because he gave his life for me. Let's look at, you probably don't even have to look this one up. John 3:16. We can all quote it, can't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but have eternal life. Excellent. Excellent. God loved us so much, ladies. I don't know if we know this verse, don't we? But do we really ever stop to really think about it? That God, our Creator, gave his one and only Son, his one and only child. Think about giving your only child. That would be hard, wouldn't it? So hard. When I think about it, I have three sons, but I have only one daughter. And if I think about giving my only daughter up, that'd be the hardest thing I can imagine. The hardest thing. But God loves us so much that he did that for us. Sent his son to die for us. Let's look at John 15:13 now. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. To be a friend of Jesus, isn't that an amazing thing to be called? A friend of our Creator and Designer. Pretty nice. All right, he gave his life for us, girls. He gave his life for us. Number two, Jesus is my true friend because he knows me better than anyone else. He knows me. He knows everything about me. He knew me before I was even a thought. And before I was even a thought, he knew how long I'd be here on this earth. He knows what I think. He knows what I'm going to say before I even say it. It's amazing. He knows everything about me. Everything. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days. Incredible, isn't it? Incredible. He knows everything about us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't ever forget that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every one of us. We're all not just women. We are souls. We are all souls, and we are all important to God. He even knows the number of hairs on our head. Which really amazes me because my hair is falling out like crazy these days. I think I might be going through this little thing called menopause, you know? I'm getting to that age and my hair is just falling out. But you know what? Every minute of every day with every hair that falls out, God knows exactly how many are still stuck in my head, doesn't he? And probably every hair on my body, you know. You know that we even have hair on our fingers? Lift up your hand and look. I mean, you can see little hairs on your fingers. He knows probably every single hair I have on my body, the number. That's amazing to me how he knows us. It's incredible. Nobody in this world knows me like that. My parents know me. My husband knows me. My kids know me. They know me really well, but not as well as God does. Isn't that cool? All right, let's look at the next one. Number 3, Jesus is my true friend because he loves me despite my many, many faults. I love that. I love that, and it overwhelms me knowing that he can love me in spite of myself. I'm messed up. I'm a messed up person. And he still loves me. It blows my mind what he does for us. And we're in the state that we're in. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners. We were ugly sinners. We are. And he died for us. He died a brutal death for us. And that blows my mind too. Everything he does for us, but he died while we were sinners. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means the payment for our sins. He loved us enough to send his Son to pay for our sins. That's powerful, isn't it? To pay for it. That Jesus' blood was powerful, is powerful enough to clean us from that sin, to wash us. That's amazing. It's just incredible. He loves us the way he does. Incredible. Jesus is my true friend because he wants me to do better. He always wants me to do better. He wants me to improve. If you'd like, we're getting a lot of God today, aren't we? We're going to get a lot of God. His word is all throughout this lesson. 2 Peter, starting with chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3, starting with verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. You know how easy it is for us, ladies, to get carried away from him? It's so easy, isn't it? You know, when you think of our breastplate of righteousness that we wear, think about this. If your breastplate of righteousness has one tiny little hole in it, one tiny little pinprick, Satan knows right where that is, doesn't he? He knows right where that is, and he knows how to seep right through that hole and get to you. He's powerful, and it is so easy for us if we don't keep our heads, our minds on him all the time for Satan to creep in and carry us away. It's so easy for us to fall from our own steadfastness, but we need to remain steadfast the best that we can and pick ourselves up and keep going and keep going. We need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior, all the time. He is my true friend because he wants me to do better all the time. All right, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 4 through 8. I'm sure you all are very, very familiar with these verses. Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are gifts of tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. He tells us just how to live, doesn't he? So that we can be better, so that we can grow in him. He tells us how to love. Isn't that amazing? He tells us exactly how to do it. And if we can do this, we'll become more like Him every day, won't we? And isn't that exactly who we want to be like? For Him to be our very best friend, He should be the best friend we have in this world, the very best friend. Because you know what? We as humans, we let each other down, don't we? We do. It's just how we are, because that's who we are, how we are. But God will never let us down. Never, ever. Never, ever. He's always there to listen to us. He's always there for us every minute, every second of every day. It's amazing. It's just amazing to me. All right, finally on this one, let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That can be a hard thing, can it? You know, it can be a really hard thing when people mistreat us and hurt us to pray for them. And you know what? That's when I really need to hear this scripture, when people are hurtful towards me. Because it reminds me that I need to pray. I need to pray for them and love them in spite of how they treat me. I need to pray for them. It's hard. It's a hard one, but we can do it. We can do it. There was a man, I have a shaved ice business. I started it back in 2003 in Missouri. And the first place I had my shaved ice trailer, I sat in a big parking lot next to a car wash. And there was a car wash manager there. And I kind of referred to him as an angry old man. That's what he was to me, kind of an angry old man. He'd come and see me, and I think he bought a shaved ice one time. And he said, I wanted to do this business so many years ago, and they wouldn't let me set up here. And I said, I'm so sorry, you know. But a little while later after that, a few months later maybe, I had some vandalism done to my trailer. We also owned a little restaurant in that town, little pizza restaurant, and we had pizza magnets. We had little magnets to advertise our business. And there were a handful of magnets strewn all over the parking lot, some obscenities written on some of them, calling me a Bible thumper, because I would sit out at my picnic tables, and you know what? It was my business, so I could do whatever I wanted to as long as I was in a health code violation. And I could sit out at my picnic tables and have a Bible study with anybody any time of the day, anytime I wanted to. It was amazing, and he evidently saw me doing that, so I became a Bible thumper. That's okay. That's okay, isn't it? That's okay. That's actually a compliment, but I don't think he meant it as one, but I think that's a compliment. Well, so, you know what? I made it. I made him my project, and I decided he was, I felt like that vandalism, I didn't know who else in that town disliked me besides him. But I had a feeling he just disliked me because of what I did and maybe the success that I had doing it. I had a feeling it might have been him that did that. So on an extremely hot day when I had no one at my window, I would make a shaved ice, the flavor I knew he liked, and I would just walk it over to him. It's a pretty hot day, and I figured you might enjoy this. I hope it cools you down. And then I would walk back. He didn't know what to think of me, and I did that a few times. Before I knew it, this man was coming to my window bringing me gifts. He would go through the trash that people threw away, and he'd find little neat little things that he thought I would like, and he'd bring them over to me. And he became the nice old man instead of the angry old man. But you know, sometimes people just need a little love, don't they? They need to see Jesus in us. And just maybe, that will help them turn around. Sometimes when people are mean like that, it's my goal to help them be nice. You know, I want to try so hard to help them to see some light and to be nice. And it worked in that situation. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, right? All right. Number five, Jesus is my true friend because he will never leave me. Never will he leave me. That's so amazing. All right, let's look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. For the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. The mountains may be removed. What does that sound like? The hills may shake? Does that sound like an earthquake maybe? All right. I think all of us probably in our lifetime have been through or privy to some sort of natural disaster. If you haven't experienced it firsthand, you've heard of them, right? Whether it's a hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake, a tsunami, whatever it is, we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that his loving kindness will not be removed from us. God will take care of us, won't he? We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about anything because God will take care of us. His peace will carry us through. When we go through something like that, you know, we know that if we lose everything that we have, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He's going to see that we're taken care of. He takes care of our needs, doesn't he? He does. And it blows me away how God takes care of us so beautifully all the time. He never leaves us. You know, about 2 years ago when Hurricane Irma hit Florida pretty hard, she hit Sebring where I live. We were evidently hit the hardest because I think the reason being that we were out of electricity for so long, so many of us. But you know what? The night that hurricane came, my husband and I slept like babies. We slept all the way through it. I wasn't worried. I knew it was going to be big, but guess what? We prepared. We got ready. We prepared the best we could. We stocked up on food, stocked up on water. We put sandbags out. We pulled all our stuff in from the lanai. You know, we did everything we could think of. And we knew that God was going to take care of us. We had nothing to worry about. And I got up the next morning, and I walked to my front door and looked out the window, and my jaw dropped. because there was, well, you see, where we live there, we live under a forest. We have, if you Google Earth my house, all you're going to see is trees. So I looked outside and every limb from every tree was everywhere, everywhere. But guess what? Our house was fine. Not one shingle came off our roof. I was afraid. We have a big oak tree that hovers over our house. And I was a little bit scared that maybe one of those limbs would pierce right through our roof. But nothing like that happened. God took care of us. We were fine. We had a lot of stuff to clean up, but that was it. Just that was it. He took care of us. And I had no doubt that he would. But I know if that worse happened, I know he'd still take care of me. It was kind of funny because our neighbors, our across-the-street neighbors, who have since obeyed the gospel, but not at that time, they had a huge, beautiful magnolia tree in their front yard. That magnolia tree just went down. They lost it. Thankfully, it was close enough to their house where it could have pierced right through their front door. But it didn't. It fell that way. They didn't understand how blessed they were. But what they saw was that Kevin and Sherry, who lived across the street from them, had no damage whatsoever. They had a little bit of damage. And they thought, he's a praying man. There must be something to that. funny how people think, isn't it? It's pretty neat, though. And now, after so many years, we ought to get in that church. Those people, they have something going with God because God's taking care of them. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So then we got to study the Bible with them, and about a year ago, 2 years ago in February, they obeyed the gospel. Buried in the waters of baptism in their own swimming pool in their backyard. That was right around Valentine's Day. And it was just really, really amazing. All right, now for my second major point, we're going to look at the fact that if Jesus is my true best friend, I'm going to strive with all my heart to be his true friend. I want to be his true friend with all my heart. Number one, he gave his life for me, right? So I want to give my life to him. We're going to look at some scriptures that will help us with that. I want to give my life to him. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Did I skip a verse? I think I did.
Yeah, you did. It's okay.
I did. Oh.
It's okay.
Oh, maybe we should back up. Yeah, let's back up a little bit. Let's go look at Hebrews chapter 13. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to skip that. Sorry about that. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. I don't want to skip any of this. I'm sorry. Okay. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with whatever you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? I will not be afraid. Man can do nothing to me. Man can do nothing to me when it comes to God. You know, we don't have to be afraid of anything, girls. Isn't that amazing? God will take care of us. We need to be smart, don't we? We need to be smart in how we carry ourselves and how we act and how we behave, what we do. But we know that because God gave us brains to think, didn't he? But he will take care of us, and we know that. He will never, ever leave us. He promised, and God keeps his promises. Did he say it's wrong for us to have money? That money is wrong? Is money wrong? What's wrong about money? Loving it. That's exactly right. Loving it. We can't be in love with money. That's so wrong. There's nothing wrong with having money, but everything wrong with loving it. If you can be content with what you have, that is huge. If you can learn to be content with where you are and what you have, you will not love money. You'll be okay. You know that you'll be okay no matter what. So all of us should be able to say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Straight from Scripture. Straight. All right? Okay, now we can move on. Now we can move on to I am Jesus' true friend when I give my life to him. When I give my life to him. Now we can go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, starting with verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That just made my hair stand up on my arm. What will somebody give for their soul? You know, I think about this a lot, and I think about how I want my life to be given to him. I want to be with him for eternity. I don't want to chance it. I don't want to take one single chance. Because, you know, he could come now. He could come right now. And we'd all, woo, woo. I just imagine that trumpet sounding voice in the air calling us to him. You know, it's going to be amazing if we're in him, won't it? It'll be more than we can imagine. It'll be so incredible. But we have to give our lives to him, don't we? We have to give ourselves over to him. And that's what these verses are telling us to do. We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. We must do that. If we do that, we can look forward to him coming. We don't even have to fear death, do we? You know, that's why I don't fear people. If someone shoots me, I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to paradise sooner, right? I'm not worried. I don't run around in fear ever, ever. Because God's got me. One way or another, he's got me, right? I'm safe with him if I'm walking in the light, right? If I'm giving my life to him. If I give my life to him, he's got me, doesn't he? He's got me, and I want to be his. I don't want to be anybody else's but his. All right? And then when we obey him, does everybody in here know how to obey him? How to obey him. We all know this, right? Right? I hope so. Okay? So once we obey him, we can say in Galatians 2:20, most of you probably know this song, but I'm going to go ahead and read it instead of sing it. I don't think you want to hear me sing. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for me, for you, for us, didn't he? He gave himself for us. The least we can do is give ourselves back to him. He loves us so much. We need to give ourselves completely over to him. And he's so amazingly smart because he knows, he tells us exactly what we need. And if we're smart, we'll obey him. We'll do exactly what he says, and we'll be with him for eternity. We've got to be smart like him. He created us this way, didn't he? So we can be. We can do it, can't we? We can. All right? Number two, we need to know him better every day. That's not my bell, is it? Okay. We need to know him better every day. He knows us. He knows everything about us. Remember that one? He knows everything about us. So now we need to know him. How do we get to know him better? How do we do it, girls? Tell me. His word. We've got to study his word. That's what we're doing now, isn't it? We're looking at his word. We need to get this in our systems. We need to drink it in. We need to love it and live it. Love it and live it. And everything he's given us, love it and live it. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I love what he tells us in these verses. He tells us how he wants us to do this. All right? Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 6. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You know what? My husband recently preached a sermon on this. And after he did that, he challenged us to do this. And so now in my house, I have little index cards with scriptures on them, on the microwave, on the refrigerator, in every mirror, in every bathroom, in my car, because I don't want to forget. In my trailer, in my shaved ice trailer, I can put scriptures up if I want to. Isn't that cool? I can tape them up on my walls if I want to. Nobody's going to tell me I can't do that. And if they did, I'd do it anyway, right? Because God is more important to me than anybody on this earth. But you're important to me because God's important to me. Does that make sense? We've got to love each other. God comes first, and he gives us that love so that we can love each other, doesn't he? We need to love each other like he loves us. All right. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man or woman, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, or by the trickery of men, or by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. He tells us how we can know him better every day. He tells us how we should behave, doesn't he? He tells us not to be like children anymore, carried around, tossed around by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. You know what kind of blows my mind about in the Old Testament in Numbers, we read about See, in my first draft of this lesson, I was going to include this scripture, but I changed it all around, and I don't have it here now, but I'm going to refer to it because it's very interesting to me. That was the bell?
Yeah, the first bell. 5 minute warning.
I only have 5 minutes? Then I can't go into this. Okay, never mind. Never mind. Oh, man. Where does time go? I'm not ready for this. Okay. Oh, man. Okay, we better hurry. Okay, so let's go. Let's see. Next point. Number three, love him because of what he has done. I'm his true friend when I love him because of what he has done. He has done so much for us girls. Isaiah 53, I'm going to read kind of quickly. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we were healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. I'm not going to have time to read the rest of it, but you can read it on your own, okay? Let's look at, I'm going to go to 1 Peter 2, 21 to 24. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return while suffering. He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. This just says it all. He died for us. He went through so much. It wasn't just a dying, just a death. It was a horrible death. It was horrible in every way we can imagine. It was awful, and he went through all of that for me. If you say me, me, that brings it home, doesn't it? It brings it home, and it makes it real. It makes it real when you think about it, when you're taking the Lord's Supper and you think, he did this for me? It'll pierce your heart, I'm telling you. All right? Number four, I am Jesus' true friend when I want him to do better. And you ask me, why are you saying want him to do better? Isn't he already perfect? Isn't he our Savior and Creator? The way he does better is when we do better. He's given us his word, hasn't he? And when we do better, he does better. Does that make sense? When we spread the word like he's told us to, he does better. He's happier. He's happy when we're who he wants us to be, isn't he? I'm going to have to go on. I'm going to have to finish this in 2 minutes. So number five, you can look up those scriptures in your own time if you can. I am his true friend when I never, ever leave him. I stick close to him. I never leave him. I'm going to stick close to his word. I'm going to read one scripture from that, okay? I'm going to read Deuteronomy 13:4. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments. Listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. Cling to him. Stay as close to him as you possibly can. As close to him as you possibly can. I'm sorry I'm rushing so much. All right, let's look at this. Friendship isn't about whom you have known the longest. It's about who came and never left your side. Okay, Jesus came, didn't he? And he has never left our side, and he never will leave our side. Never. This song, The Lily of the Valley, look it up and read it. I was going to read it to you, but I obviously don't have time. So it's amazing, though. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the lily of the valley. You know the rest, all right? Jesus wants to be a true friend to us, and he will be the best friend that we've ever had. The question is, will we be a true friend to him? Amen.